Welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Allison Winters. She's a senior policy fellow for Americans for Prosperity, and their website is AmericansForProsperity.org. Americans for Prosperity. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good morning to you.
Well, I remember Ronald Reagan once said something like, the left likes to spend money, government money, like they're drunken sailors. And then he said, but in saying this, I must apologize to drunken sailors because at least they're spending their own money. And that was a line from Ronald Reagan. It seems like our government just cannot stop spending our taxpayers' money. And even this recent stimulus bill to help the American people in the wake of COVID was somehow loaded with all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with COVID relief, certainly not for American citizens or for small businesses. Tell us about this.
That is absolutely right. You know, it's really being portrayed as a relief bill or a stimulus bill. But first and foremost, let's remember what this bill started out as. It is an appropriations bill to fund the federal government. Congress did not do its work on time. It was about 3 months late funding the government, one of its core functions, constitutional functions. And it even flirted with another government shutdown because it could not get its act in order. So that's about $1.4 trillion of this really expensive bill. In fact, members, when they voted on it, did not even know how costly the bill was going to be. And they're still kind of sorting it out. It's a little bit reminiscent of Nancy Pelosi's, we need to pass the bill in order to find out what's in the bill. And indeed, at over 5,500 pages, it's really a record breaker. So we have the appropriations to fund the government. There is a COVID relief section in there that's almost $1 trillion. There's a package of tax extenders, which are basically corporate welfare giveaways to preferred industries and businesses, and some other, a whole bunch of other tax stuff that got snuck in at about $320 billion. There's an energy title, immigration, Medicare, and much, much more. So we will be combing through this thing for weeks to understand what's in it all totaled. But Ronald Reagan had it absolutely right, and it is pretty much of an insult to taxpayers and to Americans that this kind of legislation was passed in the waning days of this lame duck session.
And you say this was more than 5,000 pages. I heard that the congresspeople were given about 2 hours to read it and then decide whether to vote yay or nay. Now, think about that. 2 hours, there's no way anybody could read a 5,600-page report in 2 hours. And a lot of that stuff is written in legalese. And so, you know, it's all lawyer talk. So that itself is hard to read. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible even to navigate the document in an electronic copy. I've got it up on my screen right now, actually. And, this is where all of the congressional staffers really come in, and they are charged with trying to read that bill and inform their member of Congress or their senator whether, whether there's anything bad or problematic that the members should object to. But for a practical matter, this is just another sign that Washington is broken. Members of Congress have two bad choices: to vote for a bill that either has bad policy or they have no idea what's actually in it because they haven't been able to read it, or voting for a government shutdown. And there's got to be a better way. So in our view, one of the things that Congress really needs to do is to pass what's called an automatic continuing resolution. So if and when, because they usually don't, Congress does not do their job and fund the government, it ends this kind of must-pass vehicle which gets Christmas treed up with all these kinds of other policies, and members then don't have that terrible choice of voting for bad policy or voting for a government shutdown.
Hmm, that's an excellent point. What is the total cost of the bill? More than $1 trillion, but...
Well, again, we're at this point, even still, we're not exactly sure.
Oh.
But the I know it's really bad. But the appropriations to fund the government or fund part of the government are about $1.4 trillion. As you know, the federal government spending on an annual basis is over $4 trillion. But this is the part that's annually appropriated every year, $1.4 trillion. The COVID relief package is another almost $1 trillion. The tax provisions are about $328 billion. One of the good things that they did do, I mean, hard to believe, but what they did do in the COVID relief package is to cancel a whole bunch of unspent money that was in that really big COVID relief bill, the CARES Act. So they canceled about half a trillion dollars in unspent funds. So it's not quite as bad as it seems in that regard, but it's still massive.
Yeah.
And the very fact that there was all this unspent funds lying around from the CARES Act really calls into question the need for a new stimulus package or COVID relief package in the first place.
Mm. Well, a lot of small businesses, this has just been the worst year, I think, for small businesses and small restaurants. Somewhere I heard that something like 110,000 restaurants in America have closed this year, and most of them will not reopen. And there's a lot of people whose hopes and dreams and the mom-and-pop organizations that have just gone belly under, while a few people have gotten really rich. I mean, it's just like a scenario out of a Charles Dickens novel. It's awful.
Yeah, and you know, our heart goes out to everybody whose dreams have been crushed by COVID, from the small business owner, the restaurant owner, to individual workers who are out of work. But this just shows how ridiculous the congressional approach is. You know, they've been wrangling over an additional COVID relief package since early in the summer.
Yeah.
And what they haven't done is to really focus on what's important. And those are two basic things. The first one is to focus on the cause of the situation, which is stopping the spread of the virus. That means what Congress should be focusing on is more testing, more therapeutics, and getting that vaccine out there to folks.
Yeah.
They should be focusing on that. There's a little bit of money in the COVID bill for that, but it's like less than 10%, and there's all this additional funding that may or may not be helpful to folks. And then the second thing the government should be doing is it should get out of the way so that we can actually recover stronger. So that means things like reducing unnecessary regulations and stuff like that. That's going to help us recover. We don't need all this spending. And, you know, to be sure, there are people who are hurting. There are businesses that are hurting. But we need to figure out a way that we can, have our firms and our businesses, our hospitals, our schools operate safely and responsibly, but also free from liability for frivolous lawsuits relating to COVID. Sadly, that didn't even make it into this package.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like the lobbyists have their way with this particular bill. I mean, the fact that it was 5,600 pages, and the Congress people, in both, that would be the House and the Senate, correct, had 2 hours or thereabouts to process it. That's just impossible. In fact, I think even AOC, whom I don't agree with, but she said something like, this is like government by hostage, or this is, you know, hostage-taking type government. And I would have to agree with her on that. You know, even a broken clock is correct twice a day.
Well, she certainly nailed that one. And this is, you know, this is not the first time that Congress has done this, and it won't be the last time unless they put an end to this must-pass kind of legislation that, you know, funds the government or you have to shut down the government. And people, members of Congress, are loath to do that anymore because it's such a travesty on the American people. I think, you know, looking forward, one of the questions is what's going to happen next? So, you know, here we're talking about this massive record-breaking bill with all kinds of bad policy that we're still figuring out, a lot of corporate welfare, a lot of wasted spending, huge so that, nobody knew what was in it when they voted on it. We don't even know how much it costs. people are all people, certain members of Congress are already talking about spending more money. And, you know, our debt today is over $27 trillion. We have deficits of $1 trillion and growing as far as the eye can see now. And the lack of fiscal responsibility is really a threat to our economic leadership in the world. So, you know, we have a real sort of a choice when we move into 2021 as to what we need to be doing when it comes to our economic and budget policy. And these cries for doing even more are just so misguided.
And I understand that there was a lot of stuff in there that just kind of it has nothing to do with COVID that I can think of. You know, things about $140 million for Nepal or something, something related to Pakistan, something, you know, things that I'm not sure I even understand how to process this, because I thought this was all COVID relief. That was the whole point.
Oh, no, the COVID title is actually one of the smaller parts of the bill. So as I said, we're going to be finding out what's in this bill for a long, long time to come, unfortunately. And to your point, none of the members knew exhaustively and comprehensively what they were voting for. And there was a ton of wasted money. There was a lot of corporate welfare in the bill. Mm. There were bailouts for specific, you know, favored industries. There's, you know, corporate welfare and what's called the tax extender package, which subsidizes, you know, specific industries or businesses. So, you know, just really, really problematic. But because this thing had to go, it had to cross the finish line to fund the government. That's, you know, that's why, again, you see this record breaker. Yeah. These were all bills that should have been considered in the normal course of business for Congress before it adjourned back in October. And, you know, time and again, you come to the end of a session of Congress and you get this kind of thing. This is a record breaker, though, and it's truly, truly concerning.
Do you think it's possible, since basically the average taxpayer will be getting $600 per person, that there may be some Americans think, oh, well, at least I got my $600, so I'm glad this bill passed?
I do, and that was, I think, you know, while the notion of getting money to people, especially during this time, is, you know, is well-intentioned, it really is misguided. So you think about it, you give everybody $600 under a certain income threshold, which I believe this time is also $150,000. You give everybody, man, woman, and child, $600. Well, where are you getting that money from? You know, you're getting it from the taxpayers.
Right.
And even if it's borrowed, which it is, every cent in here is basically borrowed of the COVID relief money.
With
even
interest.
Though it's borrowed, debt is only future taxes. So we're borrowing it from ourselves to give it to ourselves. That doesn't make any sense. And what we also know about these kinds of direct payments from past experiences, including the one in the original CARES Act of $1,200, is that they're not effective at, quote, stimulating the economy. And the economic literature shows that what people do with this money, by and large, is either put it in their savings account or they use it to pay down debt. There's no change in incentives in terms of, you know, investing money or, you know, using it to do more buying so that you can help your businesses out. Not at all. So in that sense, if it's been intended to stimulate the economy, it really is wasting our own money.
Mm. Okay, Allison Winters, again, Senior Policy Fellow for the Americans for Prosperity. The website is AmericansForProsperity.org. Allison, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.